Snare, Reykjavik Noir, Book 1, written by Lilja Sigurðardóttir and read by Susanna Hampton.
November to December 2010. 1. There was no coffee left in her paper cup. Sonia stood still by the circular table and pretended to sip through the hole in the plastic lid, watching the check-in line for the flight to Iceland. Kastrup Airport was quiet at this late hour, with only a few airlines still having flights scheduled, so the sound of jingle bells, sung in Danish, could be heard, tinkling from the cafe's loud speakers. The Samsonite suitcase brochure was on the table in front of her, and she turned the pages occasionally, although there was no need. She knew it off by heart by now, and clearly recalled those pictures she had marked the last time she had been through this airport. There were still 2 hours until her flight departed, but Sonia was already mentally preparing herself to postpone travelling and use the seat she had booked for the next morning instead. That was Plan B. It made no difference whether she travelled that night or the next morning anyway. All the preparations remained in place. She always had a fallback position and often postponed travelling or took another route when things didn't work out, or if she had a hunch that something was wrong. There was never anybody waiting for her at the other end, and she had become accustomed to staying at airport hotels. She was just coming to terms with having to put Plan B in action when she saw the woman come into the terminal building. She was walking fast, but slowed her pace as she took in how short the line for check-in was. Sonia could almost hear her sigh of relief. The woman was tall, with typical Icelandic mousy blonde hair, and as Sonia joined the line behind her, she felt a stab of guilt in her belly about what she had planned for her. This complete stranger had never done her any harm. Under other circumstances, Sonia would have happily killed an hour chatting to her while they waited at the airport. But this was no time for guilt. The woman was exactly right. No need for Plan B now. It was her silver Samsonite case that made her so perfect, and the fact that she had a smaller bag on her shoulder, which meant she would be checking in the case as hold luggage. It was just as well that Icelanders were so style conscious, even when it came to suitcases. The line inched forward, and Sonia watched the woman as a reminder not to leave luggage unattended echoed through the airport's loudspeakers. The woman appeared to have her mind on other things, as she seemed either to have not heard the announcement or thought it didn't apply to her. She didn't even glance to one side to check on her case, as most people did instinctively in response to the announcement. Just as well she wasn't the worrying type, it only made Sonia's job easier. Sonia smiled as a family joined the line behind her. This was going to be almost too easy. "Go in front if you like," she offered. "You're sure?" the man asked, already manoeuvring a pushchair containing a child in front of Sonia. "People with kids ought to go first," she replied amiably. "How old are they?" 2 and 7, said the man, and his answer was accompanied by the fond smile that fathers invariably have when they mention their children. Sonia had often tried to analyse this smile and always came to the conclusion that its main ingredient was pride. She wondered if Adam still smiled that way when he spoke about Thomas. It was 2 years since she had last seen Adam, other than by chance. These days, their only communications were short text messages concerning what time Thomas could be collected and when he should be returned. She watched the family shift their baggage and children forwards as the line moved along. It felt like decades since she and Adam had travelled abroad with Thomas as a small child, loaded down with luggage, and constantly concerned about finding somewhere with changing facilities or being the victim of some sharp-eyed pickpocket. Back then, they had often been stressed by what now seemed trivial details. They'd had no idea how precious it was to have nothing serious to worry about. The petty things they had allowed to worry them now seemed so unimportant ever since Sonia had been caught in the snare.